Good evening, everyone. This Shabbos, we're going to be reading Parshas Emor. We have this one Shabbos break from all these double partials. We've been reading 2 weeks ago Achimos, where we read Tazria Mitzora, then Achimos Kedoshim, and then next week is Behar B'chukosai. So this week, just one Parsha, Parsha Emor. I always remember the first Aliyah of Emor and some of the other Aliyahs, because my brother Aryeh is Bar Mitzvah Parsha. So whenever you have a Bar Mitzvah boy studying for his Parsha in the house, everyone seems to know the Parsha, because that's all you hear for the year leading up to the Parsha. In any event, as we mentioned in the past, the first half of Parsha's Emor is primarily all about the Kohanim, different rules are governing the Kohanim. And the second half, and there are a couple of exceptions, but the second half is primarily what our rabbis refer to as the Parshas Moadim, as the Parsha of the holidays, where the main laws of the holidays, Sukkot, the laws of tells us about the Lulav and Esrog, about Hadassah Maravos and the Sukkah and Rosh Hashanah, the fact that it's a day of Truah, of shofar blowing. All, you know, all the things that we're very familiar with regarding the Chagim, the holidays, are enumerated in this week's Parsha. Interestingly, not the Korbanos. Primarily, the Korbanos are reserved. The Korban Musaf is reserved for Parshas Pinchas. If you look at the Ramban in this week's Parsha, he talks about why the Korbanos aren't here and why the holidays are mentioned here. I'm not going to discuss it right now. But in any event, again, the holidays, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they are mentioned here, as well as the mitzvah of Sfiras Omer, which we're currently in right now, in the period in between the Pesach and Shavuos. But what I wanted to do is just to highlight and to focus on one specific aspect related to Shavuos, and to contrast it with something with Pesach. I mentioned this past year on Pesach and Shul, my drush on Shabbos Chol HaMoed, I asked everyone who was there, you know, when it comes to symbols, so certain holidays have symbols. Like, you know, if I'd ask you, what's the symbol of, what is the symbol, let's say, for Rosh Hashanah? So, you know, you tell me the symbol for Rosh Hashanah, you know, you get these Rosh Hashanah cards, either it's a shofar or an apple and honey. If I'd ask you for the symbol for Hanukkah, you'd say probably a menorah. The symbol for Yom Kippur might be scales. The symbol for a Sukkot, a lulav and esrog. Every holiday has its symbol. So what about Pesach? What would the symbol be? So I think most people would say that the symbol for Pesach would be matzah. And I challenged everyone and suggested that, you know, we obviously we think a lot about matzah. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah on Pesach. But the way our rabbis understand the psukim regarding matzah, at the end of the day, the only time one is actually required to eat matzah on Pesach is for a short moment. It's Seder night. That's when there's a mitzvah, be'erev tochlu matzos. You have to eat the matzah. You got a korban Pesach, eat it with the korban Pesach, but that's it. But the rest of Pesach, if for whatever reason someone was didn't want to eat any type of product with the flour and water, you just want to eat fruits and vegetables and chicken and eggs and things of that nature, you wouldn't have to eat the matzah. Right, there's no requirement to eat matzah. Now again, you have to on Yontif, Shabbos, you have to have Lecha Mishnah, but there's no real requirement to eat matzah. And again, the psukim are a little bit unclear because even the pasuk this week Parsha tells us this is in Perichof Gimel, pasuk Vav v'chamishas yom lachodesh azeh chag hamatzos l'Hashem shivas yamim matzos tochelu for seven days you shall eat matzah. But again, our rabbis understand from another pasuk, Be'erev Tochlu Matzos, that really you only are required to eat matzah on the first night, on the Seder night. So therefore, I asked everyone, I said, so what I would think that the real symbol of Pesach should be, and the requirement that lasts throughout the entire duration of Pesach, is the requirement not to eat chametz. Right? The entire Pesach, I cannot eat chametz. Right, matzah just is one moment. I have to eat matzah, but the rest of the Pesach I cannot eat the chametz. So hold that thought for a second. Right, so that applies for the entirety of Pesach. A strict prohibition not to eat the chametz. So then you look at our parsha, Parshas Emor. Again, it tells you about Pesach, and then it tells you, it goes right into Sfiras Omer. Tells you you'll enter the land of Israel, you'll bring the Korban Omer, and Svartem Lachami Macharas HaShabbos, Sheva Shabbosos, Tmimos Yiptiyena, you'll count these 7 weeks. And then we're told the following. So why are you counting these 7 weeks? Ami Macharas HaShabbos HaShviz, Tisperu Chamishim Yom, Vikraftem Mincha Chadashal Hashem. When you conclude counting these 49 days, these 7 weeks, at that point you're going to bring a mincha chadasha, a new type of offering, a new type of meal offering. Mimosh voseichem tavil lechem tenufa shayim shnei asronim solas tiyana chameit teafena bikurim lashem. What is this special sacrifice that you're going to bring? It's a sacrifice of chameitz. Chametz, that item that you were prohibited to eat for eating for 7 days during Pesach, all of a sudden comes Shavuos and totally v'napachov, borrow expression from Purim. Just the opposite. Yudavka specifically on Shavuos must eat chametz. You had to stay far away from it on Pesach, and all of a sudden comes Shavuos, you have to eat this korban, or bring this korban of chametz. And it's interesting, most people don't at all think about this when it comes to Shavuos. Why? Because unfortunately nowadays, of course, we don't have a base on Mikdash. And so we don't have this korban. This korban is referred to as the korban shtei halechem. There were these two loaves of bread. Again, it was bread. It wasn't matzah. It was bread. It was chametz that were brought to the base of Mikdash, and they were waved. You know, today, when it comes to food on Shavuos, what do we think about, of course? Cheesecake. Now, I hate to break it to anyone here, but the Torah never says to eat cheesecake on Shavuos. I've checked it numerous times. There's no reference to it. You won't find it somewhere else in Navi. And if I'm not mistaken, you won't even find it in the Gemara. It just doesn't exist. Yeah, it's a custom. It's a custom that we developed. The Ramah cites in his commentary, the Shulchan Aruch. Was lost to the Shulchan Aruch 500 years ago, this custom to eat milchiks on Shavuos. We're not even sure why the custom exists. The Ramah gives a theory, other people give theory. And at some point, some baker probably decided to make some money selling cheesecake. And so cheesecake became the big thing, and everyone knows on Shavuos to eat cheesecake. But there's no mitzvah to eat. There's a mitzvah to have Simchas Yantif, and that gives you simcha to eat cheesecake. That's wonderful. But in terms of, real law, the food associated with Shavuos is not cheesecake. Again, I'm sorry to hurt anyone's feelings sharing this information, but the food associated with Pesach, sorry, with Shavuos is chametz. And I learned from my wife in recent years. My wife taught me this. My wife started making cheesecake not only on Shavuos but on Pesach. I said, "What are you doing making cheesecake on Pesach? Oh, cheesecake Pesach is for Shavuos." So she said, "Oh, my parents, so they come, my in-laws come, they like the cheesecake." So she makes the cheesecake. Okay. So you can make cheesecake that doesn't have any chametz in it. Right? You can make a pesedika cheesecake. By the way, I've learned also now you can make pesedika bread too. they make this bread now that's, I don't know, it looks like bread, tastes like bread, but apparently it's not bread. But the bottom line is that on Pesach, you're not allowed to eat chametz. And all of a sudden, comes Shavuos, you're required to have the chametz, right? You're required to have this korban that has chametz, which is very unusual. And again, if we had a base of Migdash, and of course, and cheesecake was not on the menu, like this would jump out at everyone. This is so it's in your face. This dichotomy, this fact that all of a sudden the previous holiday no chametz. The next holiday must have chametz, and a special korban that's made of chametz. So why is that? So there's different suggestions and different theories as to the reason. I saw that Rav Hirsch, he tells you to look at his commentary here on Parshas Emor. So he tells you to look back in what he says earlier. In the beginning of Vayikra, It's very interesting. At the beginning of Vayikra, when it's telling us all about the laws of the Korbanos, so we're told the following. It says, Kol ha-mincha asher takrivu la-Hashem, anytime you bring a korban mincha, meal offering, lo se'aseh chametz. It cannot be chametz. V'chol for v'chol devash, lo se'aktiwi menu yishel Hashem. You're not allowed to ever bring a korban that has chametz. Now, there's two exceptions. One is our Shavuos exception, and the other one is the Korban Toda, the Thanksgiving offering. And some of the Mefarshim we'll talk about in a second suggest that this Korban on Shavuos is a form of Korban Toda. It is a form of a Thanksgiving offering, which makes sense because, after all, the Shavuos is the time of the wheat harvest, right? And that's why even the Korban that we bring is a Korban of wheat, that the Korban of Pesach, Korban of Omer is a korban of barley. The korban of Shavuos is a korban of wheat. It's the wheat harvest, and we're offering our thanks to Hashem. Hopefully, we had a successful wheat harvest. So again, it's a form of toda, a form of Thanksgiving. But says Rav Hirsch the following, and Rav Hirsch is now going to deal with this question about why is it that on Pesach no chametz, and on Shavuos we're specifically going to bring chametz. And he says the following. I'll just read a little bit. It's a long piece, but he says, the meaning of chametz and matzah is a historic one. And it is the matzah, he says, right? Matzah, which is unleavened, is the symbol of political lack of independence. That condition in which we have lost the free disposal of our time, which amounts to the disposal of our powers. That matzah, something unleavened, that represents that we're dependent upon something else. And for the Jews in Egypt, they were dependent, right, upon Paro, right? They were slaves to Avadim Hayinu L'Paro Mitzrayim. They were slaves to Paro. It is the sign, says refers, of Avdus, of slavery. And in contrast, Su'or and Chametz, right, that which is leavened, are the signs of independence, as being one's own master. The original bread of Israel was matzah. Left to themselves, the bread of slavery would never have disappeared from their hands. If at every reoccurrence of the festival of remembrance of the delivery from Egypt, matzah drives su'or and chametz out of our homes, and always brings up afresh in our minds that we have freedom and independence not through our own means, but solely as the continuous gracious gifts of God. In other words, I think what he's saying is the following. That when matzah represents, and the reason why matzah is so integral, that whenever you would bring this korban mincha, generally it had to be matzah, because matzah represents dependence. Now, initially the dependence was a dependence upon paro, and it was from a negative connotation. Right? Halach ma'anya diachlu aftanav barad mitzrayim. This is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. Right? We were dependent upon paro. We were in the throes of slavery. But we're commanded on Pesach to eat matzah to demonstrate that ultimately our dependence is upon Hashem, upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That the ultimately, that, we left the servitude of Egypt in order to become avadim l'Hashem, to be servants of God, right? Moshe, we mentioned this in the past, Moshe, the end of the Torah, is described as the Eved Hashem. That's the greatest accolade that we can give Moshe, that he was a servant of God, and that the notion of independence is something that we set aside, that that the purpose of our freedom from Egypt was not to do whatever we wanted to do, and it wasn't just in order for us to go have a good time, but it was in order for us to have a mission and a purpose, to be dependent upon Hashem, to have this relationship upon Hashem. If we're ever being a korban, we're always demonstrating our dependency upon God. So really, we should be the one that's being brought on as a sacrifice on the altar. Right? Really, we're the one who should, give, in some sense, give up our lives. We don't have to do that. Right? Hashem wants us to live. But we're showing our fidelity, our devotion to Hashem. And therefore, the korban is always a korban of matzah. The exception, though, to this is Shavuos. Because on Shavuos, on some level, now we've achieved independence. And the independence is a sense that we chose to embrace Hashem, right? On Shavuos, we chose to be nasev anisha, to accept the Torah. Now, again, normally we show that acceptance by showing our dependence upon Hashem. That's what Rav Hirsch is saying. But on Shavuos, in that moment where we made that choice, and we that singular moment when we expressed our willingness to serve Hashem, that was up for their own free will. So that is best symbolized, says the Pirush, through the chametz, right? Through this notion of independence. And I think, if I remember correctly, refers to similarly when you bring a korban todah. So the reason why, as Thanksgiving sacrifice, that you're also going to bring some element of chametz with the sacrifice, is because you're choosing to recognize that it's a Hashem who saved you, right? That it's not yourself, but that you needed Hashem. So again, one is it's dependency, and every korban todah had 30 matzahs that were with it, but also 10 loaves of bread, because you're making that same statement. You're choosing to make that statement of that you recognize that this you have this relationship with Hashem. That's how Rav Hirsch understands this again, this distinction, this very apparent change from chametz, from matzah on Pesach to chametz on Shavuos. I like to suggest one other thing that's based upon, I'll read a comment from the Baba Cherebi. And I sort of alluded to this on Pesach when I spoke this past year on Shabbos Chol HaMoed. So the Baba Cherebi says the following. He says that leavened bread, right, chametz, which is puffed up with air, represents the arrogance of a puffed up ego. That on Pesach, what do we do on Pesach? We get rid of chametz. And what we're doing on Pesach is that we're nullifying ourselves, right? We're recognizing, right? We search the house and we get rid of chametz. And again, in Chassidus, it's all this idea about getting rid of one's own desires and one's own interests, and recognizing that ultimately we're servants of Hashem, that we're avadim la'Hashem. And that's the critical initial stage that we need to have for the Jewish people as they made this new transition. It was all about relying on Hashem, right? The whole journey we spoke about in the past, the whole journey from Egypt to Har Sinai, was all of them learning that ultimately they had to rely on Hashem. They go out into the desert and there's no food and there's no water, and they always complain to Moshe. Moshe says, "Don't cry, why complain to me? Cry out to Hashem." Right? And Amalek attacks, and Moshe has put his hands up because it's all Hashem. Right? It's all about like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And Sefer Devarim, where the Torah tells us we enter the land of Israel, so you're supposed to work, but you're supposed to recognize that your success is not because Koch of Yotzim Yadi, because of your work alone, but it's because Hashem, who knows in that Koch, Lasos Chayo, God gave you the strength, the ability to be successful. So it's all about this nullification. It's all about putting aside your ego and recognizing that ultimately you're here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you got to get rid of the chametz, right? You have to get rid of it. But then he says, and matzah, right? Matzah, conversely, represents humility, right? This notion of recognizing that it's not me, it's Hashem, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then he says the following: ego is not necessarily a bad thing if it represents a healthy self-esteem in one's observance of Judaism. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, his heart was lifted up in the ways of God. However, such a healthy ego is only possible when a person's Judaism becomes developed. At the outset, however, there is nothing for him to be proud about, so his ego would be destructive. Thus, at Pesach, the birth of the Jewish nation, Chametz ego is forbidden, but on Shavuos, after counting the Omer, which represents the refinement of Jewish personality, Chametz becomes an obligation. They should be baked leavened. Which I think he means is the following, because I want to end off with this. I think what he's saying is that we work on ourselves during the period of Sfiras Omer, recognizing that ultimately our job in this world is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means that often we have to set aside our personal wants and our personal desires to ultimately be subservient of what it is that Hashem wants from us. And that takes a lot of work and takes a lot of effort, because our DNA that we're programmed to The ego is such a part of our personality, and so much of who we are, is survival of the fittest, and what's best for me, what I want. It's all about me, and the Torah says it's not about me, but it's about Hashem. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem knows what's best for us. Hashem put us here in this world for a reason. It's ultimately to fulfill the dictates of the Torah and the values that are imparted to us in the Torah. And therefore, we work on that. Again, we get rid of the chametz. That's the critical avoda thing that we do on Pesach. But then comes Shavuos. Again, I think is what the Rebbe is saying. Then comes Shavuos, and then we have to look at our strengths. In other words, each one of us is unique. Each one of us is special the way we are, and each one of us has certain strengths and certain capabilities that perhaps only we have. And those things were given to us as a gift from Hashem. And those are things that Hashem wants us to utilize, right? He wants us to be able to understand. Notice humility, we say this about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Anav mikol adam, the most humble of all people. Humility doesn't mean that you're nothing. Humility just means, or what humility should be, is that you recognize that it's not about you, but it's about something greater than you. But you recognize who you are. You recognize your capabilities and your strengths. And therefore, on Shavuos, we want you to bring a korban of chametz. We want you to sort of stand up proud and to recognize who you are and the talents that God gave to you, and but then to use those talents to serve Hashem, to express hakaras hatov, right? It's a korban tov. It's a Thanksgiving offering to Hashem, that you recognize who you are, and now with that awareness, now I can serve Hashem. So now I can sort of blend it all together. I can get rid of that initial chametz and sort of first break myself down to sort of get to the core and to understand my tafkid and my purpose. But once I understand that, then I can then build myself back up. Then I can allow the dough to rise. Then I can allow my strength and my capabilities to be used, not for my own purposes, but in order to do the great things that Hashem knows that I can do. And I think, again, this, we don't, it's unfortunate, it's one of the many tragedies that we don't have a base of Mikdash today, but specifically when it comes to Shavuos, I think this was like a central message. And a lesson that was conveyed. It's such an obvious issue and that to jump at us when we're reading this parsha. The Dafka, we're going to bring chametz. I thought chametz was bad. I thought chametz I'm supposed to get rid of. Right, every little morsel of chametz I'm supposed to destroy. My whole focus of Pesach. Right, we spoke about the symbol, and I'm suggesting the symbol of Pesach should be a picture of chametz with a big X on it, right? And that should be that's the whole tafkid. And we spend weeks leading up to Pesach to get rid of that chametz. And so, the reason is because that's the first step. That is the first stage. It's recognizing, why we are here in this world. Coming back to our first step, this notion of this dependency upon our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Then ultimately, when we get to Shavuos, now it's to build ourselves up. Now it's to, again, using Refersh's words, is to have some level of independence, but an independence in order to choose to serve Hashem, and to use those gifts and those talents, those strengths that we have, and to use it not for ourselves, but ultimately to help the world, and ultimately to do the things that Hashem wants from us, and if it's done right, so then chametz can be a gift. Then chametz can be something to appreciate. It can be something which is sweet, and maybe that's a nice, cute reason why we at that point we eat the cheesecake on Shavuos, because it's not just breaking yourself down and beating yourself up, but it's living a life of simcha, living a life of joy, and of celebration, but with this recognition and this awareness, and ultimately. It's all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all about standing at the foot of Har Sinai, of declaring Nasa v'nishma, that I'm ready. I'm here. I'm ready to do. I'm ready to serve you, Hashem. And with that recognition and with that awareness, that embracing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and again, it takes work to get there. That's why you need to have these 49 days to build up to that moment done used properly. So then at that point, I can then embrace the chametz. I can offer the chametz, and I can use now my talents to serve Hashem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.